Our scripture reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have been encouraged by the testimonies of thanks to you this evening, by the presence of every precious son and daughter of you here this evening, and the evidences of your grace in their lives, in our life, as a congregation loved by you in Jesus Christ. We pray as we read this scripture, as the word of God is proclaimed to us, that our hearts would rejoice in the evidences of salvation that you work in us and through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from God's infallible word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, the Apostle Paul's greeting of grace and peace is followed by Paul's expressions of gratitude for the proof, the evidences of God's saving grace in the lives of the Thessalonians. This entire letter is really has a theme of thanksgiving. Paul is rejoicing and giving thanks to God for the salvation that he has wrought in the Thessalonians. And the thanksgiving begins with a long sentence of thanks to God in verses 2 and 3. He says, we give thanks to God for the blessings of salvation he's given that are evidenced among you. And what is evidenced? The work of faith that God has produced through you, the labor of love that the Lord has given you, and the steadfastness of hope that sustains you faithful as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of persecution. That's one long sentence of thanksgiving to God for the proofs of salvation. You read in verse 4, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And the proof that the Lord has chosen these Thessalonian people to salvation is their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope. Just follow, if you want to see a little more of this theme of thanksgiving, Look at chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of the church of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. So he's praising and thanking God that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the word of God was burned into the minds and hearts of these believers at Thessalonica, so that the word of God brought them to recognize their helplessness and hopelessness apart from Christ, and drove them to experience God's great forgiveness and saving grace in Jesus Christ. And it was the word of God that produced that in them. And then if you just turn over to chapter 3, and we'll read verses 6 through 10. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if we are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. What the Apostle Paul is emphasizing is this. The Apostle Paul was very concerned about the genuineness of the faith of the Thessalonians. And he had to leave them very quickly before he could discern how genuine their faith was. And what he discovered from Timothy and others is that the faith of the Thessalonians was marked by faith, by love, and by hope. And he's giving a great thanks to God for what he has done in the Thessalonians, that evidence that they have truly been chosen by God and are being kept by him. And so the Apostle Paul prays constantly with thanksgiving to God for the Thessalonians. He recognizes that every grace that the Thessalonians have and every grace that they need can only be found not by the flesh, but by praying and asking God to give those graces. To the extent that our hearts are seeking not the flesh, but the graces of God to be poured out among us through prayer, to that extent we are able to be assured that God will be faithful to the prayers of his people. Now, I want us to look at these three evidences of God's saving grace, of God's sanctifying grace in the lives of the Thessalonians. First, we're going to look at work of faith. And under there, what we did was, we brainstormed, the elders and the deacons brainstormed evidences of faith at Covenant. So what is the work of faith? Well, we recognize that the Word of God in the New Testament and Old teaches that we are not justified by our works before God. We can't merit salvation by our works. That is because no matter how many works, good works we do, we can never erase the record of our sin. We can't merit salvation. And faith is a gift of God that is based on God justifying us When Jesus cried, "It is finished," he bore the penalty for our sins and achieved our righteousness through his perfect obedience. But the faith that saves us, the scriptures teach, is a faith that leads us as a fruit of salvation to good works. We are saved by faith to a life of good works that evidence faith for the glory of God, that are a fruit of faith. So the work of faith here. The Lord providing Frank Voss, his carpenters and subcontractors. That was a great provision of God in terms of their work of faith. In carrying out the building construction, giving of themselves in many different ways. Two, by faith and the Lord's faithfulness, moving forward with the renovations during the pandemic. That was a work of faith that goes to the glory of God, because God enabled our congregation to pray and to labor and to give and to help in a multitude of ways. Okay. Opening the Lord's church, because this is the Lord's church, not ours, for in-person worship. God was faithful to us, trusting God to provide for our spiritual and financial needs as a church. Sunday worship to proclaim the gospel, prayer together, fellowship, and service. And so a work of faith is, the fruit of faith is to obey the Lord by gathering for worship, to hear his word and respond to it. To pray together, to fellowship and service, the audiovisual ministry and streaming our services to those who are seeking to grow in their faith but can't be here. The diaconal needs of brothers and sisters in Christ being met. Growth in faith and obedience through God's word. And sacrificial giving to missions through discretionary giving. There were a couple of our missionaries, all were thankful, but wrote letters thanking us for the giving to missions at the end of the year from the discretionary giving. The Boardwalk Chapel mission trip. And then labor of love. Now, when the Apostle Paul uses that word labor, he's talking about a sacrificial, strenuous exertion. An act of costly service to the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith would be deeds, good deeds, and sacrificial love would be the sacrificial exertion in the accomplishment of those deeds. The word love is agape. Now, that is the New Testament word for agape, but the Greeks, the cultural world in which the New Testament was written, never used that word, agape. That is a New Testament word. They used eros, the culture. In other words, eros was romantic love, or I'll love you because I see something desirable in you. You earn it. The New Testament word for love, agape, is love that is undeserved, love that is costly, love not given because something is desirable, but love given on the basis of the sacrificial death of the cross. He agape'd love to us by dying for our sins on the cross. And the more we grow in our knowledge of the scripture, the more we see others as Christ sees them, and sacrificially give up ourselves. Okay. The many phone calls made to encourage each other and pray for one another. Visits made to comfort and pray for each other. Special ministries, Operation Christmas Child and the New Berlin Food Pantry. Brothers and sisters who are active working together in landscaping, painting, custodial care, sending encouragement cards, providing transportation to doctor's appointments, and grocery shopping, providing a safe environment to worship and serve in. Greg and Vinay keeping good financial records. John keeping our session minutes and Gordon before him. Musical accompaniment for our worship service, vocal and instrumental solos. The fellowship committee providing for refreshments and lunches. Unity and love for each other being tested and growing. And then lastly, steadfastness of hope. What is steadfastness of hope? Well, steadfastness of hope means not wishful thinking, but rather a faithfulness born of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit that enables us to persevere in faith, knowing the certainty of God's forgiveness and the inheritance of eternal life. Steadfastness of hope is not a grim resignation to circumstances. It's believing fortitude that enables us to persevere with the expectation of victory in Jesus Christ. So what is steadfastness of hope? The Lord's faithfulness in keeping us through the pandemic. Trusting God and continuing to serve Him through the pandemic. Faithfulness in Bible study, worship, fellowship, and prayer. Promises of God and His Word becoming more precious to us. The Lord sustaining and growing covenant through 20 years of ministry. The 20th anniversary committee steadfastness in coordinating our celebration. There were a lot of obstacles. Entrance into Jesus' eternal presence of Al Sauer, Glenn Grossbeer, and Barney Feigley. The steadfastness of hope. Completion of the renovations and the testing and trials through which the Lord strengthens our endurance. Persevering grace of God to those with chronic trials, and the Lord's comfort in the midst of loss. So there's the work of faith, there's the labor of love, there's the steadfastness of hope. I know this is not an exhaustive list. I'm sure you could add to it. If you'd like to add to it, you can let me know. Send me an email. But this brought the passage alive in the sense of evidences at covenant of these three marks of grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the evidences at covenant that we are a people chosen by You and loved. Not because we are righteous in any way in and of ourselves, but only and solely because of the power of the Holy Spirit who has given us the gift of faith in You, Lord Jesus, through which You produce love and steadfastness of hope. Thank You, God, that You prove Yourself faithful every day of our lives. Thank You for the evidences of Your grace in our church family, and may we pursue with passion a deeper love for You, deeper love for one another, and a greater faithfulness to the gospel. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.